This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Islam dunk.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. Welcome to Islam Dunk, Journey of Faith 2009. Our guest today is Sheikh Saeed Raja. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How was a long day for you, right?
Long weekend, long
Alhamdulillah.
Weekend.
Sir, if you can just start off by telling us a little brief explanation about yourself, your background, what are you an expert in, what do you concern more in, concentrate more in religion?
I was born in Somalia.
MashaAllah.
And I was raised in Saudi. Then I came to States. Then I came to Canada. Here I am.
You live in Toronto or?
I've been in Toronto for quite a while.
MashaAllah.
But this is what happened. I came to Canada. And I didn't like Toronto. Okay. It was winter time. So what I did, I said, let me move. So I moved to a small city called Welland, Ontario. This is like 3 hours from here, if I can remember correctly. And apparently I was the only black person there. No one else.
Really?
And the people used to come at the lunchtime. We had the school had 1,200 students. And lunchtime, my table was like packed. And they're like, where are you from? And they're like, where are you from? And I was like, is anything coming off him? You know, I think it was fun. And then he said, I'm from Somalia. Where's Somalia? Somalia, sorry. I have to explain to them. But it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
I'm sure
we were very friendly people. They were very nice. Yeah. I still remember, except the basketball coach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the coach, the assistant coach, the team, all of them were Italian.
MashaAllah.
So I didn't speak.
So that's a different experience for you. What do you like more about Islam? What really attracts you to Islam the most?
You know, I'll tell you something that I never mentioned this to anyone.
Okay.
Is really when I came to Canada, you know, I went to a church because church people came. And they took me to the church. And I listened, and I listened, and I listened, and it didn't make any sense. Okay. Then I went to Catholic school. All my high school, I went to Catholic school. So every other week or month, there's mass downstairs. We have to go, and the people have to eat the bread and, you know, take a sip of Isa or Jesus, alayhi salam. And, you know, I would not participate. I would sit and listen, but I would not participate. And then I started taking classes about Christianity and all this. And I used to sit in the class, and the priest would come and teach, or at least address the issue, because the teacher could not answer the questions that the students themselves had at that time. And shortly after that, I realized all these people, the young people, they really don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe Jesus being Son of God. They just say, well, this is what my parents are. I will say what they say. I will go to the church because for Christmas I'll go. For a wedding, I'll go. But really, if it's up to me, I would not even go there. So before I even address the issue, I even say anything, these students, Catholic students, would grill the father, you call the father, and they will just grill him. How could this be possible? And I would be like, wow, if they only knew about Islam.
So they're just following. So it's like they're blind and somebody's holding their hand and they don't know where they're going.
But at that age, they were like, no.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, you told us a few years back, eating meat on Fridays is prohibited. You cannot eat meat. Now you're telling us it's okay.
Right.
Where is Jesus? This Jesus that has just came down to you and told you this is okay. You told us nuns have to wear, you know, certain. Now they don't. So what is the problem? How could you say this is my religion? This is the religion of God. This is, and you keep changing. Unless Jesus is with you, with all the change that you make, it doesn't make sense. So, and then they themselves, what they used to do, they used to go and research about Christianity, the history of the Bible, and how many times the Bible changed, and that Jesus never said, "I'm God," and there's no such thing called Christmas. There's no such thing called, you know, all they themselves were like, and I was like, I cannot say anything. I mean, they're doing better job than I can even imagine me doing. So when I went to this school, initially I was like, you know, I was born Muslim. You know, I don't know anything else. Maybe I should go out and explore other things. Go to the church. It didn't make any sense. Go to, you know, Catholic school. It didn't make any sense. And then I say, okay, what should I do? And the teacher, I remember the teacher asking me, she said, "Saeed, why don't you prove to me from the Quran that Jesus is not Son of God?" So I took a bus from Welland and came all the way to Toronto, to Masjid, was Jami' Mosque. And I went to the masjid, and I went to the bookstore, and I said, "This is what I'm writing about. Actually, this is what I want to do. How could you help me?" And they gave me this book titled "Jesus in the Quran," something like "Jesus in the Quran." I think that was the title of the book. So I took this book, and I went and I sat, you know, taking information from here, taking his information from Surah Ali Imran, and then I submit the paper, and she was impressed. From that day, she would not even bother me trying to, you know, sell Christianity to me. And then when I started doing this, I was like, wait a second. Every other weekend, I'm going to mass. Every other Sunday, I'm going to the church. What about my religion? What about my Islam? You know, this was the thing. I didn't want to follow Islam blindly. I want to see some that is practical, you know. Keep in mind, I was raised in Saudi, you know. I used to get 49, 50, you know, out of 50. If I would do bad, it was 45 in Islamic studies.
Right.
You know, so I knew this, but it was like, they used to tell us, memorize it now and understand it later. And then you memorize the material and you put it on the piece of paper and you walk away at the end of the day. So when I came here, that really, it helped, but it really did not answer my questions. So I said, well, let me do my own research. Let me read about Islam more and compare that to Christianity. And then I came to the conclusion, there's no comparison. Because Islam is a religion that you can really take it to the lab and say, okay, this is your Quran, let me prove you wrong. Or let me prove you this is from the Quran. And then I started reading the miracles of the Quran, that God talked about mountains before all any of these scholars came and said, well, this is what the purpose of the mountain. Mm-hmm. God talked about, you know, the water, the seawater that will never meet. Mm-hmm. God talked about the clouds, the weather. Moon. God talked about the human embryology in the Quran. Right. All of this was just discovered recently.
Right.
And we had it 1,400 years ago. And we did not even think about translating the material to the non-Muslim and say, wait a second, instead of you coming and wasting 15 years of your life and say, oh, I did all these experiments and I did all this study, it's right here.
Right in our book. Right.
In our book right here. Right. We didn't do this. So when that came from a Kafir and say, this is how human development is going, this is the stage, and say, oh, no, let us show you. And then the people are like, no, you guys just doing what...
Right, and what people don't understand out there, you need a scientific lab to know that, like, for example, the water that will never meet in the same sea. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, back then, didn't have calculators, they didn't have nothing. So how can you deny if the proof is there? Allah says in the Quran, bring your proof, and the proof is there.
This proof is there. There was a lady, I don't know if you heard, she read the hadith. That the Prophet said, this is Bukhari, the Prophet said, if a fly lands on your drink and you have no, you still want to drink that drink for some reason, maybe this is the only thing you have, you know, you don't feel, he said, don't just grab the fly and throw it away, but dip it. Now, common sense, like, wait a second, it's a filthy fly. Why would I even dip it in my drink and then say, oh, now I can drink, you know? And then he explained. And he said, the two wings of the fly, One carries all the germs, and the other carries the cure of that disease. So when the fly is dying, it makes sure that it saves the wing that carries all the cure. So it dips the wing that has the disease. So if you want to drink, well, you got to dip the other wing to cancel that. American lady, she said, that is, you know, BS as they say. That doesn't make any sense. Get away from me. And she went to the lab. She was a doctor. She went to the lab and she did everything. And she came back out of that lab saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Because it's straightforward, it's plain and simple. This is what Islam is. This is how we should be. Practice it. And the unique thing about Islam, the most sophisticated person on this earth can practice. And the man who lives under a tree, you know, simple man,
right,
who doesn't know anything but the sun rises from the east and goes from the west, and there are a few goats and all can eat, and you know, nothing else of civilization, both of them can practice Islam exactly the same. So it's not only for certain group. When I used to go to the church,
right,
the guy who was giving me da'wah, he was telling me, I'm sorry, there's no black church here. Oh. And I'm telling him, like, so? I didn't understand, because it's like, masjid, whether you're black or white or green or purple or, you know, whatever, you want to pray? Bismillah. Foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. You know, as a matter of fact, make sure that we, you know, feet are touching, on the toes are touching, and the ears are touching. And I want to feel you. I want to feel that brotherhood. But here it's like, you're black, you're white, you go to this church, and you go to this church. Here in Islam, it's not that. Islam is like, you know, how righteous you are. And if you're righteous, then you're closer to your Creator. If you're a wicked person, evil person, then...
So in Islam, just people understand the view the Shaykh brought. We have no racism in Islam. More faith you have, the more you are closer to God. Of course, God likes you more. That's how you are a better person. If you're black, white, purple, green, there's no difference between you and anybody else, because we are all descendants of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no difference between anybody else. Sheikh, I just wanted to ask you, I see a lot of youth are coming to Islam now. They're hungry for knowledge. Islam is attracting them. What can we do to bring them more to Islam, to attract them more to Islam?
See, nowadays, life is nothing but entertainment. You just can't go to a young man and say, you know, let us sit down and read Bukhari. I'll explain to you what Surah Baqarah means. He may sit out of respect, but 10, 15 minutes, he's not with you. Because he's used to flipping channels, you know, between the commercials, you know, he's going everywhere, you know, driving you crazy. You can't even watch TV while the kid's sitting. You don't expect that he will give you attention. So for him, for you to explain what Islam or Quran or the Sunnah is. The best way to attract these young people is career activities, sports activities, speech combat, what you call contest. Anything that they can do it. But at the same time, allows them to be decent practicing Muslim. One of the best brothers in the city of Calgary, and if you ask brothers like Muhammad al-Sharif, Muhammad al-Faqih, if you ask the brothers who went to Calgary, they will tell you about the brothers in Calgary. You know, how do we get them? We got them through basketball court.
Mashallah.
Okay, let's get a basketball court. Bring the ball, and let's play. No lectures, no you're doing haram, you know, drop your girlfriend, stop smoking. No, let's play ball. You play ball. You know, when the adhan comes, when the salah comes, Allahu Akbar. It's done. You stop the ball. They're still playing. But when they see you doing that once or twice, I guarantee you the third time, either they will have respect and stop the ball until you finish praying, or, which is 75%, they will join you. Now look, you enjoyed yourself, they enjoyed themselves. You know, you didn't have to explain to them what Islam is, just simple thing. Therefore, if we just have more activities for the youth, and let us stop, you know, no disrespect, but the camps and massages they're doing is pointless. It's just a babysitting program for the weekend. You go and then and you know, you just waste your time and you know, sit around the fire a little bit. That's different. See, when we came up with the program and we started 2 years ago, myself and brother Elias Liggins, who is from Maryland. I don't know if you guys are from Maryland.
No.
And we came. I called him, his old friend of mine. I called him and said, "Listen, you know, old tradition camp is not gonna cut. It's not gonna work. So let us do something unique." So he said, "What should we do?" I said, "Let us do leadership program." But it's not about reading, and it's not about, you know, reading about leadership. It's actually living the situation and the environment. So we stage the environment, we create the environment, and we say, solve the problem.
So by applying?
By applying. They learn teamwork. They learn how to manage their time. They learn how to deal with other people. They learn how to be leaders. You know, your responsibility is this, you know, make sure the whole group are on board with you. So they learn. And at the same time, we give them from the Sunnah, from the Sahaba, from the Khulafa, from the Ulama of the Ummah. So they learn. They learn. So while we practicing this, while we're doing the actual act, we say, "Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Rasulullah came to Rakana and he wrestled. Now let us see what you can do." You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just go and we do everything based on the Sunnah. Not in an extreme way that you say, "Oh, there's a booth." None of that, but according to the Sunnah.
So you wanna show them how it's done, and with little spices, a little more fun, right?
A little more fun. Mm. And then I guarantee you, the guys, when they come back, only for the bus, unfortunately.
Right.
This is the third year, as a matter of fact, third year in Calgary and the first year in Toronto. So Masjid Abu Hurairah is organizing this year, and all the people will sign up, for the people from Toronto, people from North America, people from, they can come and join us. It's the second weekend of August. And it's beautiful, and I guarantee you the brothers and sisters, the brothers will enjoy. No sisters.
No sisters around. Just brothers. Before we close, what would be your advice to the youth, Sheikh, these days, especially in the Western country where we live right now?
In this society, you know, we have to be part of the society. You know, we understand we were born, some of you were born here, some of us were raised here. We have to be part of the society. But people like to see something unique. And if everybody's wearing jeans, and you come and you wear some normal pants, it's like, "Oh, that's unique."
Right.
Jeans is no longer unique. In Saudi, if you go where everybody's wearing thobe, and white thobe most of the time, summertime, and you start wearing red thobe, now that's stand out. So here, the youth should not try to follow these people, especially, you know, these thugs and gangsters, and you know, they should not follow them. They should stand out and say, "Well, you know, you guys going that direction, I'm going this direction." To follow is the attribute and what do you call it, the attitude of failures, losers. To lead is what we're asking them. So if everybody going left, you go right. And this is what Muslim youth is all about. So these young people have to understand, when you dress like them, they won't respect you. When you talk like them, they won't respect you. Because there are literally millions of you. But the moment that you said, "This is my kufi, it's not fard, but I love it, and it's a sign of Islam, you know, my this," and there's, "Oh, he's different. He's not wearing baseball, he's wearing a kufi."
Teach
like
me,
that.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Right.
You know? And then these guys, they really lost. You know, five people accepted Islam here today.
MashaAllah.
You know, and all of them are young. I'm talking about 18, 19, 21, you know, 17. They're young. And they're coming back from, you know, coming from darkness, and they're coming to the light of Islam. And our youth, some of them, because lack of education and knowledge, they think, "Oh, it's so dark, it must be something, you know, excited, let me go." But it's nothing but, you know, hellfire wal iyadhu billah. So they have to be independent. If you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتُمْ, they will never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. So be different. Stand out, be who you are, And don't be afraid of anyone or anything. Don't fear nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh Saeed, I want to thank you for taking the time to join Islam Dunk.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure to see you. Inshallah, we'll see you next year.
Get some rest, brothers.
Inshallah. Our viewers, thank you for tuning in to Islam Dunk at the Journey of Faith 2009. And my last words to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, when I went to this school, initially I was like, you know, I was born Muslim. You know, I don't know anything else. Maybe I should go out and explore other things. Go to the church. That didn't make any sense. Go to, you know, Catholic school. It didn't make any sense. And then I say, okay, what should I do? And the teacher, I remember the teacher asking me, she said, Saeed, why don't you prove to me from the Quran that Jesus is not Son of God. So I took a bus from Welland and came all the way to Toronto to Masjid, was Jami' Mosque. And I went to the Masjid and I went to the bookstore and I said, this is what I'm writing about, actually. This is what I want to do. How could you help me? And they gave me this book title, Jesus in the Quran. Something like Jesus in the Quran. I think that was the title of the book. So I took this book and I went and I sat, you know, taking information from here, taking his information from Surah Ali Imran, and then I submit the paper. And she was impressed. From that day, she would not even bother me trying to, you know, sell Christianity to me. And then when I started doing this, I was like, wait a second. Every other weekend, I'm going to mass. Every other Sunday, I'm going to the church. What about my religion? What about my Islam? You know, this was the thing. I didn't want to follow Islam blindly. I want to see some that is practical. You know, keep in mind I was raised in Saudi. You know, I used to get 49, 50, you know, out of 50. If I would do bad, it was 45 in Islamic studies.
Right.
You know, all. So I knew this, but it was like, they used to tell us, memorize it now and understand it later. And then you memorize the material and you put it on the piece of paper and you walk away at the end of the day. So when I came here, that really, it helped, but it really did not answer my questions. So I said, well, let me do my own research. Let me read about Islam more and compare that to Christianity. And then I came to the conclusion, there's no comparison. Because Islam is a religion that you can really take it to the lab and say, okay, this is your Quran, let me prove you wrong. Or let me prove you this is from the Quran. And then I started reading the miracles of the Quran, that God talked about mountains before all any of these scholars came and said, well, this is what the purpose of the mountain. Mm-hmm. God talked about, you know, the water, the seawater that will never meet. Mm-hmm. God talked about the clouds, the weather. Moon. God talked about the human embryology in the Quran. Mm-hmm. All of this was just discovered recently.
Right.
And we had it 1400 years ago. And we did not even think about translating the material to the non-Muslim and say, wait a second. Instead of you coming and wasting 15 years of your life and say, oh, I did all these experiments and I did all this study. It's right here.
Right in our book. Right.
In our book right here. Right. We didn't do this. So when that came from a kafir and say, this is how human development goes, this is the stage. And say, oh, no. Let us show you. And then the people are like, no, you guys just doing what goes.
Right, and what people don't understand out there, you need a scientific lab to know that, like, for example, the water that will never meet in the same sea. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, back then, didn't have calculators, they didn't have nothing. So how can you deny if the proof is there? Allah says in the Quran, bring your proof, and the proof is there.
This proof is there. There was a lady, I don't know if you heard, she read the hadith. That the Prophet said, this is Bukhari, the Prophet said, if a fly lands on your drink and you have no, you still want to drink that drink for some reason, maybe this is the only thing you have, you know, you don't feel, he said, don't just grab the fly and throw it away, but dip it. Now, common sense, like, wait a second, it's a filthy fly. Why would I even dip it in my drink and then say, oh, now I can drink, you know. And then he explained, and he said, the two wings of the fly One carries all the germs, and the other carries the cure of that disease. So when the fly is dying, it makes sure that it saves the wing that carries all the cure. So it dips the wing that has the disease. So if you want to drink, well, you got to dip the other wing to cancel that. American lady, she said, that is, you know, BS as they say.
It
doesn't make any sense. Get away from me. And she went to the lab. She was a doctor. She went to the lab and she did everything. And she came back out of that lab saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Because it's straightforward, it's plain and simple. This is what Islam is. This is how we should be. Practice it. And the unique thing about Islam, the most sophisticated person on this earth can practice. And the man who lives under a tree, you know, simple man,
right,
who doesn't know anything but the sun rises from the east and goes from the west, and there are a few goats and all can eat, and you know, nothing else of civilization, both of them can practice Islam exactly the same. So it's not only for certain group. When I used to go to the church,
right,
the guy who was giving me da'wah, he was telling me, I'm sorry, there's no black church here. Oh. And I'm telling, I was like, so? I didn't understand, because I was like, masjid, whether you're black or white or green or purple or, you know, whatever, you want to pray? Bismillah. Foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. You know, as a matter of fact, make sure that we, you know, feet are touching, on the toes are touching, and the heels are touching. And I want to feel you. I want to feel that brotherhood. But here it's like, you're black, you're white, you go to this church, and you go to this church. Here in Islam, it's not that. Islam is like, you know, how righteous you are. And if you're righteous, then you're closer to your Creator. If you're a wicked person, evil person, then...
So in Islam, just people understand the view the Shaykh brought. We have no racism in Islam. More faith you have, the more you are closer to God. Of course, God likes you more. That's how you're a better person. If you're black, white, purple, green, there's no difference between you and anybody else, because we are all descendants of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no difference between anybody else. Sheikh, I just wanted to ask you, I see a lot of youth are coming to Islam now. They're hungry for knowledge. Islam is attracting them. What can we do to bring them more to Islam, to attract them more to Islam?
See, nowadays, life is nothing but entertainment. You just can't go to a young man and say, you know, let us sit down and read Bukhari. I'll explain to you what Surah Baqarah means. He may sit out of respect, but 10, 15 minutes, he's not with you. Because he's used to flipping channels, you know, between the commercials, you know, he's going everywhere, you know, driving you crazy. You can't even watch TV while the kid's sitting. You don't expect that he will give you attention. So for him, for you to explain what Islam or Quran or the Sunnah is. The best way to attract these young people is career activities, sports activities, speech combat, what you call contest. Anything that they can do it. But at the same time, allows them to be decent practicing Muslim. One of the best brothers in the city of Calgary, and if you ask brothers like Muhammad al-Sharif, Muhammad al-Faqih, if you ask the brothers who went to Calgary, they will tell you about the brothers in Calgary. You know, how do we get them? We got them through basketball court.
Mashallah.
Okay, let's get a basketball court. Bring the ball, and let's play. No lectures, no you're doing haram, you know, drop your girlfriend, stop smoking. No, let's play ball. You play ball. You know, when the adhan comes, when the salah comes, Allahu Akbar. It's done. You stop the ball. They're still playing. But when they see you doing that once or twice, I guarantee you the third time, either they will have respect and stop the ball until you finish praying, or, which is 75%, they will join you. Now look, you enjoyed yourself, they enjoyed themselves. You know, you didn't have to explain to them what Islam is, just simple thing. Therefore, if we just have more activities for the youth, and let us stop, you know, no disrespect, but the camps and massages they're doing is pointless. It's just a babysitting program for the weekend. You go and then and you know, you just waste your time and you know, sit around the fire a little bit. That's different. See, when we came up with the program and we started 2 years ago, myself and brother Elias Ligand, who is from Maryland. I don't know if you guys are from Maryland.
No.
And we came. I called him, his old friend of mine. I called him and said, "Listen, you know, old tradition camp is not gonna cut. It's not gonna work. So let us do something unique." So he said, "What should we do?" I said, "Let us do leadership program." But it's not about reading, and it's not about, you know, reading about leadership. It's actually living the situation and the environment. So we stage the environment, we create the environment, and we say, solve the problem.
So by applying?
By applying. They learn teamwork. They learn how to manage their time. They learn how to deal with other people. They learn how to be leaders. You know, your responsibility is this, you know, make sure the whole group are on board with you. So they learn. And at the same time, we give them from the Sunnah, from the Sahaba, from the Khulafa, from the Ulama of the Ummah. So they learn. They learn. So while we practicing this, what we're doing, the actual act, we say, "Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Rasulullah came to Rakana and he wrestled. Now let us see what you can do." You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just go and we do everything based on the Sunnah. Not in an extreme way that you say, "Oh, there's a booth." None of that, but according to the Sunnah.
So you wanna show them how it's done, and with a little bit, little spices, a little more fun, right?
A little more fun. Mm. And then I guarantee you, the guys, when they come back, only for the bus, unfortunately.
Right.
This is the third year, as a matter of fact, third year in Calgary and the first year in Toronto. So Masjid Abu Hurairah is organizing this year, and all of the people will sign up, for the people from Toronto, people from North America, people from, they can come and join us. It's the second weekend of August. And it's beautiful, and I guarantee you the brothers and sisters, the brothers would enjoy. No sisters.
Just brothers. Just brothers. Before we close, what would be your advice to the youth, Sheikh, these days, especially in the Western country where we live right now?
In this society, you know, we have to be part of the society. We understand we were born, some of you were born here, some of us were raised here. We have to be part of the society. But people like to see something unique. And if everybody's wearing jeans, and you come and you wear some normal pants, it's like, "Oh, that's unique."
Right.
Jeans is no longer being unique. In Saudi, if you go where everybody's wearing thobe, and white thobe most of the time, summertime, and you start wearing red thobe, now that's stand out. So here, the youth should not try to follow these people, especially, you know, these thugs and gangsters, and you know, they should not follow them. They should stand out and say, "Well, you know, you guys going that direction, I'm going this direction." To follow is the attribute and what do you call it? The attitude of failures, losers. To lead is what we're asking them. So if everybody going left, you go right. And this is what Muslim youth is all about. So these young people have to understand, when you dress like them, they won't respect you. When you talk like them, they won't respect you. Because there are literally millions of you. But the moment that you say, "This is my kufi, it's not fard, but I love it, and it's a sign of Islam, you know, my this..." And there's, "Oh, he's different. He's not wearing baseball. He's wearing a kufi.
Teach
like
me.
That.
What do you do?
What do you do?"
Right.
You know. And then these guys, they really lost. You know, five people accepted Islam here today.
MashaAllah.
You know, and all of them are young. I'm talking about 18, 19, 21, you know, 17. They're young. And they're coming back from, you know, coming from darkness, and they're coming to the light of Islam. And our youth, some of them, because lack of education and knowledge, they think, "Oh, it's so dark, it must be something, you know, excited, let me go." But it's nothing but, you know, hellfire wa iyadu billah. So they have to be independent. If you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتُمْ, they will never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. So be different, stand out, be who you are, And don't be afraid of anyone on anything. Don't fear nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh Saeed, I want to thank you for taking the time to join Islam Dunk.
And
it's a pleasure to see you. Inshallah, we'll see you next year.
Get some rest, brothers.
Inshallah. Our viewers, thank you for tuning in to Islam Dunk at the Journey of Faith 2009. And my last words to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.